Some years ago, a missionary who was working in Africa, in Malawi, went with a pastor and a group of Christians to a new village where the people hadn't heard the gospel before. They were allowed to speak to the chief and the elders of the village and to explain why they were visiting the village and what their message was. And so they explained to the people in the village about God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, and they shared the good news that this plan included all the people in the village too. God loved them and had sent his son to die for them in that village. Everybody listened very attentively, and then it was their turn to ask questions. And the first question was asked by the chief. And he asked the missionary, "How long have you known about all this?" The missionary explained that he'd known for a long time, and his father before him, and his grandparents before them too, had also known. And so the chief replied, "Then why did it take you so long to come and tell us about this? It's an important message, and it concerns everybody in this village, you tell us. So what took you so long?" Well, of course, it's not only people in Malawi who might be asking that question today. It's over 2,000 years since God put his plan of salvation into action through Jesus' death and resurrection. And yet when we look around us, I'm quite sure that we all realise that still today there are plenty of people right here in Enfield who don't understand God's plan of salvation and who have no idea that there is a God who loves them and is concerned about them. So the big question is, what are we doing about that situation? Well, surely the advice that Paul was giving Timothy applies to us too. It's good advice still for today. Be strong through the grace that is ours in union with Christ Jesus. Take the teachings that you heard and entrust them to reliable people who will be able to teach others also. Do your best to win full approval in God's sight as a worker who's not ashamed of his work, one who correctly teaches the message of God's truth. That was Paul's advice to Timothy and to us as well. So what is that message of God's truth, the gospel that we should be sharing and passing on to others? Well, of course, the word gospel means good news. And at the heart of the gospel is the fact that God has come to us in Jesus Christ, and this has made a relationship possible with God himself for each and every one of us. We call this idea grace because it describes a free and voluntary act that's unmerited. In other words, something that we certainly don't deserve. If we look at the beginning of the first letter of John in the New Testament, the idea is beautifully made clear that we can have fellowship with God because the Word of Life, Jesus, came into the world for us. And the Bible encourages Christians with truths about God and faith. And that includes forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, knowledge of God, victory over the evil one, and the abiding Word of God living in us through God's Holy Spirit. We worship a true and living God who can give us strength to overcome our weaknesses and faith in God founded on what God has already done for us, We don't have to wait for him to do something. He's done it 2,000 years ago. Of course, we can't reduce Jesus just to the level of a good man or a guide or a philosopher or even a prophet. That would be to distort the Christian faith, because the heart of the gospel and the heart of our faith is Jesus Christ himself, the Son of the Father. Jesus, who is divine and at the same time truly human. Christians believe that Jesus tasted death for everyone, as it's written in Hebrews. And he couldn't do that if he only appeared to be human, but was really completely divine. Also at the heart of the gospel, we have Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. Our belief that Jesus, who is divine and human, took the punishment for our sin so that we can be forgiven and we can have a relationship with our almighty, just, loving, faithful God. Now that surely is very good news indeed to share with others. In our reading this morning in verse 8, Paul reminds us that the gospel is about the resurrection of God's chosen king. This is the gospel for which Paul is suffering, probably because the Romans didn't like to think that there was anybody else who might be a rival to Caesar in the Roman Empire at that time. Paul may have been in chains when he wrote to Timothy, but the gospel message was not in chains. The gospel was and is free to continue doing the work of God, the work for which God sent it into the world, that is, bringing about the salvation of those who follow his teaching. Paul's endurance is an example for others, then and still now, to hold on even when the going gets a bit tough. Now, to reinforce that message, Paul quotes from a short hymn in verses 11 to 13 that we've looked at. If we have died with him, with Jesus, we shall also live with him. If we continue to endure, we shall also rule with him. These words speak of us, even 2,000 years later, actually participating in Jesus' death and resurrection, and then actually going on to reign with him after a time of trial. And we know, of course, that we do often have trials and problems in this life. We can look forward to spending eternity with him if we're faithful. Then there's a warning for us about the consequences of not remaining faithful. And finally, a reminder for us that even if we fail at times, God promises to help us and give us the strength that we need to stay true to him. If we are not faithful, he, God, remains faithful because he cannot be false to himself. And this surely is even more good news for us and for people that we need to share it with. We're not expected to do our part in faithfully sharing the gospel in our own strength. God's grace and strength are there for us, there to help us live out the gospel and there to help us share with others. For us as Christians, fellowship isn't an occasional liaison. It actually means being like God and doing what God does. Now that is a very big challenge in life. So what if we get it wrong? which I'm sure we sometimes do. Well, the New Testament answer is that that same grace which comes to us in Jesus provides cleansing for sin through his death. If we get it wrong, we have someone to help us. The idea of sacrifice is not a very easy one for us today, but what it means in the New Testament is that Jesus' death has already been effective. Wrongs can be cancelled, and an inner change takes place in Christians when we acknowledge our weaknesses before God. How can we know that we truly belong to God and our failures aren't evidence of being separated from him? Well, the letters of John and James in the New Testament both point out that those who belong to God practice what they preach. We're doers, not just hearers. As Christians, we find ourselves in the spotlight because we do reveal Christ, we hope. We must love our fellow Christians in such a way that reveals we've passed from death to life. As the writer of the first letter of John puts it, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. And he goes on to describe our love for others as something that's seen, something that makes the invisible visible. We can see it. And that extraordinary idea means that Christians can reveal something of God in their own lives. It's often said that we're the best adverts for God, and unfortunately, sometimes perhaps the worst too. For us as Christians today, here and now, the question is, are we advertising God as good news or bad news, perhaps? Do we get it wrong sometimes? It's not easy to be an advert for the gospel. But fortunately, God is for us both the inspiration for our life through Jesus and the strength for responding through his Spirit. Those of us who send lots of emails and are familiar with doing that can relate to the idea of embedding a picture or a link in a message. The New Testament shows us that love is what needs to be embedded in us if Christ is going to be made visible through us. Such love is not easy to manifest, but it's an incredible privilege to know that we can display Christ in our lives despite our weaknesses. Sometimes I think when we watch the news on television, when we watch perhaps the DVD that we've seen this morning, we can feel almost helpless in the face of so much need that we regularly see. The news always concentrates on the bad news, the disasters, the problems. It feels as though there's nothing possible we can do to help with so many problems, disasters, difficulties that people have. Except, of course, we can pray. And prayer shouldn't be the last thing, rather the first thing that we think of doing to help. However, Jenny Hawke, whose father was a missionary with the leprosy mission and who grew up in India as part of a mission family, said that one day when she was preparing to give a talk about the mission's work, she was suddenly struck by a thought, and it was this. It only takes one person to start something, one person to do some kindness. Right here, where I am, I can do one thing to make a difference to someone else. Wellesley Bailey, the founder of the leprosy mission, was only one man. But he noticed a need, and he began, very small, to do something to help those in need. And out of that, the leprosy mission has grown to an organization working in many different parts of the world today. And we can help people one by one as well. If we let God highlight who and when and where he needs us to help somebody, well, we never know how much God can do through us until we try. We too, in his strength, can change people one by one. We can make a difference. In verse 14, at the end of the reading today, we see that Paul advises Timothy not to let people fight over words, because this does no good. Now, of course, the language which we use as Christians can be important. It can put up barriers. It can bring about understanding. We have a wonderful message of hope to share with others. And like Jesus, we need to speak with a clear and joyful relevance to life today. This is something which affects people here and now. But even more important than what we say is what we do and how we live our lives. This is what others are going to notice about us. As Edwina Gately, an author, writes, "We who have received the love of Christ through the Spirit cannot contain it. It must reach out to others, spilling out and touching the world in which we live." It's a wonderful picture. It gives us the idea of us as Christians being so full of God's love that we can't contain it, we can't keep it to ourselves. We have to spill. It seems perhaps a little easier to live our lives by simply loving God so that he will spill out of us. Less wearying than many of our complicated agendas, meetings, and programs, even. For each one of us, our steps in life are different, but we all make a unique mark on the ground beneath us. We need to let God's enormous love fill us and surround us day by day, so that sharing the gospel with others is a matter of loving Jesus. Loving Jesus so much that we cannot help but want to be with him and live with him and live like him. Then others will learn about the good news which we want to share with them as God's love spills out to them through us. That's what we're aiming for. That's the best way for sharing the good news that we have.